one this evening with the awesome and the blessing words of grace, mercy, and peace. May they be multiplied unto you this evening as we embark on another phase, or should I say a final phase or series of fivefold ministry regarding the teacher. Amen. And with that being said, I would ask for each that have the word of the Lord with them this evening, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians once again. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to focus in on verse 7 through 16, because as everybody knows, you know, anything that we impart into the earth realm as God men and God women, we should always be foundational with Scripture in order to back up what we're saying. Amen. If God gives a revelation, then He's going to give you something by His Word to stand by. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16, the Scripture once again says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Somebody should already be speaking to themselves. Once again, it's fivefold. These are gifts unto men. "Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Let me read verse 12 once again to endorse why these giftings are given. "For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work or the labor of doing ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." And if I may say, knowledge is saying your understanding of the Son of God, "unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," meaning for you to stand and resemble Christ yourself, understanding Him completely until you look like Him. Verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things." Catch that. He says, "but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measures of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Verse 17, "this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now let me, if we could, jump to Matthew. Hold that scripture there. Please turn with me to Matthew, because this is going to encapsulate this teaching on the teacher and should bring it home as a revelation for those that are listening. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, and these are the words of Jesus Himself. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. So now, with that being said, for those that are our body of believers that are listening right now, understand the final element of the manifestation of the seed of Jesus Christ that's hidden within each and every one of us is the responsibility or the gifting or the assignment of what is called the teacher. Amen? Now, for those who don't know what a teacher is, many of you that's got the notes right now, I'm going to begin to dissect this thing to make sure that you got a revelation of understanding on this. Now, first of all, notice that the scripture that I'm foundationalizing this from is in the New Testament, amen? So keep in mind, as a New Testament reader, everything that we've got is pretty much in Greek, amen? So with that being said, first, let me define to you what a teacher is from the Greek dialect, all right? In Greek, the word is didaskalos, which means one who is an instructor or one who is fitted to teach. However, understand didaskalos is not the root of that word. There's a root that goes within that, which is didasko, which means to impart instruction or to expound on a thought or what has been learned. Amen? Now, I want y'all to hold on to that. Now, if we looked at the word teacher in the Hebrew, it would come from the word bayin, B-I-Y-N, which is defined as one that is intelligent, and God considers intelligence as one who really has understanding. Intelligence, when you really look at this thing and understand it from Hebrew, intelligence is not hinging on how much you know. It's hinged on your understanding of what you know. If I can do like old school, you know, a lot of people say knowledge is power, but I would correct some people right now in the spirit and say knowledge isn't power, application of knowledge is power. And how do you have application of knowledge to make it power for you other than the fact that you understand what you know? I don't know if anybody got that right there. See, excuse me, as kingdom kids, once again, this is a season of understanding and clarity in order for us to advance in the will of God. But the will of God is hinging on what you understand and can put into proper application. Amen? Excuse me. Now, if I had to summarize, you know, from the Greek and from the Hebrew, what a teacher really is, it's one that imparts understanding to others as to what they've been previously taught or understand. Meaning that if I am called to be a teacher and I operate in teaching, it means that anything that I have learned previously and understand, I turn around and impart that to somebody else to get the same revelation or understanding as me. But watch this. You can't teach unless you've first been taught. What makes a teacher is one who has already been in a place of being a follower before they was in a place of being a leader. That's what makes them effective in teaching. Amen? So with that, if I can still caveat one other point of a revelation with that, is this. As a believer, you are called to be more than a believer. Watch this. We are called to be teachers of what we believe and to believe what we teach.
Amen.
Everybody get that? We are called to teach what we believe and believe what we teach. So anything that I have the ability to turn around and teach to somebody, I hope that I believe what I'm teaching them. Especially when it comes to the kingdom. We are not called to teach folks anything, because that's where we get to this thing of any realm of doctrine. A realm of doctrine is something that you teach that you really don't believe yourself.
Come on.
You're just teaching it because you can teach it. Amen? And see, understand, taught folks are folks that have been in a place that they've experienced what they're teaching. And now they can operate that thing and flip it any kind of way in order to make you understand, because they say, I've been there, done that, and I've got that t-shirt. Amen?
Amen.
So now, if I can take this further, it brings me now to move forward into what I would consider the next question, because now as you're listening to this and understanding what it is to be a teacher, many will probably begin to ask, okay, man of God, is there foundation that teachers are in the scripture? And if so, where are they referenced? Well, when you look at your notes, I first break down every Old Testament scripture where you can find a teacher reference. 1 Chronicles 25:8, Psalms 119:99, Proverbs 5:13, Isaiah 30:20 and chapter 43:27, Daniel 12:3, Joel 2:23, and Habakkuk 2:18. And let me say this as you're listening and downloading these scriptures in your head, a lot of these I will be addressing in the rest of this teaching, so don't think you got to turn to all of them right now. I'm just trying to give you a quick snapshot of where these things are referenced. Amen? Now, if we were looking at the word teacher in the New Testament, it's referenced in John 3:2, Acts 13:1, Romans 2:20, 1 Corinthians 12:28-29, Ephesians 4:11, 1 Timothy 1:7, 2 Timothy 2:7, 2 Timothy 1:11, and 2 Timothy 4:3, Titus 2:3, Hebrews 5:12, and 2 Peter 2:1. So now, that would tell me, with all those scriptures being referenced, apparently it must be something of importance for God to have that imparted in all those locations for you to receive as a believer. See, we know if God said it once, pay attention. If he said it twice, then you need to pay close attention. If he has to say it three times or more, then you need a witness to confirm that he is really trying to get your attention on something. And this scopes from Old Covenant to New Covenant, that apparently teaching is something significant in God's MO, or method of operation. Amen? So now, that brings me to the next one. If I'm going to give you a revelation on teaching, some of us need to know and foundationalize this thing on Jesus Christ himself, amen? So now that brings me to the question, was Jesus associated with the gift or identity of being a teacher? Because notice, as I've been teaching on this series of fivefold, I have brought a revelation to you about Ephesians 4, making you aware that these are more than just offices that are identified, but they're giftings that are identifications of the characteristics of Jesus Christ himself. Excuse me. So I can't mention about you being a teacher and being like him if I don't line it up with it being associated with him by scripture. Amen? So now, with that being said, when one turns to John 3:1-2, Nicodemus, who is of the Pharisees, identified Jesus as a teacher. Amen? Turn with me to that scripture right quick. Amen? Amen. In John 3:1-2, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So now Nicodemus says that you are a teacher that has come from God. Now, in that, notice within the same portion of scripture, he's even identified as a rabbi. And if I can give you revelation on a rabbi, excuse me, rabbi is associated with high honor. Amen? Meaning abundant or much. So Nicodemus, in the process of calling and identifying Jesus as a teacher, was saying that he was a high honored teacher. Amen? Bottom line, if I can put that in the 21st century, Nicodemus identified Jesus as having his own PhD. Did y'all get that? He wasn't just a plain teacher, but he was a master at what he taught. Amen. So now, when we get to a place that we can associate ourselves with being identified as a rabbi, when somebody associates us with being a teacher, then that means we done already got our degrees in the Holy Ghost, then we got a PhD level of revelation as to what we're teaching. We not only lived that thing, but we became a beginning and an end within that thing. Amen?
Amen.
So now that we can connect Jesus to the fact that he was a teacher, in order to understand how the fivefold ministry, the gifting of the teacher, is an identity associated with him, now it brings me to the next question, number four. What should being a teacher significant, why should being a teacher be significant to the believer? Amen? Because now, if I'm going to tell you about an anointing that rests within you, you need to have a revelation. Why is it significant? And its significance goes right back to Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Because, see, understand, Jesus imparted a gift or this assignment or task or command to everyone that receives the kingdom or was in the sound of his voice. Because, see, let me make sure ain't nobody got this twisted. Excuse me. Some people think because the apostles were there on the scene, Jesus was only given the responsibility to them. No. See, by Matthew 28:19-20, we talked the Great Commission, the apostles were there on the scene, but the scripture doesn't associate who else was on the scene outside of the apostles. So Jesus made an oral command into the atmosphere, not just them, because if he was just talking to them, he seemed to say, apostles, I want you to go and teach all nations. He said, go ye. Ye is a plural terminology out of the Greek that means everybody, meaning everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody under the sound of my spirit that hears what I am speaking. This becomes the commission that's given unto you. And watch this. Anything that is given and deemed as a commission from one to another, it becomes a descendant's commission. Okay, don't get this twisted. It's just like this. If my mother or father as a child tell me something, and it be something that becomes ingrained in me because I become convicted in that truth, then do I not turn around and share that same truth with my children and my offspring and my seed? So in the same turn, Jesus said, anybody that's connected to me that I give this to, then now it becomes the responsibility of them. If that's not so, then we call the Abraham's line a lie, because everything of a blessing that was gave to Abraham transcends down to us right now. So if a blessing transcends, so does commands that go along with the blessing. Everybody catch that? So we can't twist that thing and just say, well, I only inherit blessings that God gives. I also have to inherit the commands that go along, because the commands are what keep me in the line to be entitled to the blessing. So once again, if he says that we are to go teach, then that becomes the responsibility of all of us to get understanding of his word. Now, notice this. Let me give y'all a quick revelation on that, even with Matthew 28:19-20. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, understand, nations come from the Greek word ethnos, which means Gentiles. But when we talk to the Gentiles, when we talk about Gentiles, we talk about people that aren't in relationship with him, and that means the untaught. Okay, so now, that kind of goes back to a catchphrase that I usually tell folks. We spend too much time trying to resave the saved. What Christ gives you as a responsibility is go and spread the news to those who have not been taught or are in a mindset of being untaught. Revelation that we get of speaking the gospel as teachers is a responsibility that we go impart what we got to those that ain't had it imparted to them yet. Everybody get that? Because, see, well, what we really do is waste time when it comes to the kingdom assignment of teaching. We try to outdo everybody that already knows something. Y'all feel what I'm saying, whether somebody say something or not. We think, well, because you know something and because you got a degree or whatever in religion or so forth, then let me try and flex up and show that I know a little bit more than you. So while I'm spinning my wheels trying to reteach somebody that already got what I already got, Jesus' responsibility to us as a teacher is to go and take all that energy and put it into somebody that ain't got it. Amen? So now, that brings me to question number 5 on the notes. What is expected of a believer to carry out the gifting or the assignment of a teacher? Oh, I love this one. Please turn with me to the book of Romans. What is expected? Amen. It's one thing that is significant, but now I need to make you understand your mandate as a believer and having the responsibility to teach. Amen. In Romans chapter 2, begin to look at verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Okay, watch this. He says they've got the form. The form means the shell or the shape of knowledge or understanding, but they ain't got no sustenance to do what they need to with what they got. So now, let me really line up with this portion of the text is saying. He's saying, by this word, Paul declares, we are measured by our secret things that make us who we are in Christ. See, the secret things are what's hidden within you. The inner man, what the inner man knows. What the inner man knows and operates in God is what you're measured by in core, according to looking like Christ and being like him. And he says what your inner man has is being measured to Christ according to what you have been taught by the gospel, or watch this, God's fail. See, the gospel is nothing more than a God spell, meaning it's words that are spoken that begin to cause you to act upon. When people speak words that cause you to take action, then that's the power and authority of what will be considered a spell, because it causes you to do things almost out of control. So now, he says, God is measuring you to look like Christ according to what you have learned from the God spell. And the only way you're going to learn from the God spell is opening your spiritual ears to hear when God's spell is speaking. As long as you want to trip and act like you can't hear and be deaf, dumb, and blind, you operate in a spirit that Jesus really has to cast out. Okay, y'all are Bible readers. I leave that there. He'll cast out a deaf, dumb, and blind spirit because he can't operate with that. So now, he says, I measure you, and when I measure you to this from what you got from the God spell, it is what makes you excellent or what makes you approved by me, because you're operating according to the law. Okay, so now, with that being said, once I get into a place that I'm measured to a place of excellence, that he can say, hey, I can associate you with my son because of what you've been taught. Now, your mandate is, first of all, to speak to the foolish. Okay, now, for those that don't really know about the foolish, there's actually two Greek words that are associated with a fool, aphron and moros. And believe it or not, when you really get into moros, it means ungodly. So, first of all, I'm called to give the God spell to somebody that ain't got no God in their life. My mandate is to bring God into the life of those that are godless. Now, the scripture, second of all, says that we have an assignment to teach babes. Now, watch this. Babes come from the Greek word nepios. And nepios means unskilled or immature or simple-minded children. Simple-minded children only have a form of knowledge. So watch this. What he says is, if they're unskilled or they're immature or they're simple-minded, that's like a child. If I can put this in school form, we've got children that go to school that learn what they need to learn in order to pass a test. All right? But that does not mean what they learned in book sense makes them any smarter of the application of what they learned. So what he says here is there's a lot of folks that can quote scripture. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks that can learn, memorize the scripture, but if they can't operate that thing, they're like an out-of-control child when it comes to the word, and they can't operate in that thing. So you are called with an assignment when you've got a revelation and you've matured on a word and to bring somebody that's a loose cannon into alignment with what they got. Because you can get anybody that can learn Genesis to Revelations. Amen. But the thing is, they'll end up causing revolutions versus revelations. And the revolutions that they cause is because they done blowed up some stuff that they thought they knew something on, but they had not matured enough in order to teach that thing and put it into application. So your assignment, when you've been given a great revelation on the Word of God as a teacher, is to make sure that the revelation of the Word that somebody has is clearly understood for proper application. Now, we are also called to teach others in faith. Conviction. You know, understand, faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means conviction. Well, watch this. If it's one thing, once again, to have the word, but if you ain't convicted about the word, then somebody needs to bring you into a place of conviction. Me and a man of God were just talking today. We were talking about faith, and we were saying that, you know, what is it that caused some people that come into the presence of teaching to kind of be dead folks in the pews? Y'all feel what I'm saying? They don't seem to be moved. And I said, easy. It's a quick revelation for you. I said, the revelation is this. The word says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I said, so watch this. Most folks need to be taught about hope before they can get faith. Faith convicts them, but there's certain things within the midst of their mind that they need a word on hope. If they don't have a word on hope or understand what hope is, then they can't have conviction to move into faith. So that speaks to me that anything that I foundation to speak to somebody as an oracle or to teach them when it comes to the Word of God is I first got to foundation them with hope within what I've got to speak. And if I can make hope come alive, y'all feel what I'm saying, and we ain't talking about Martin Luther King, but if I can make hope come alive for somebody, then I can make the conviction come alive in their life as well. This is some of the responsibility of the anointing of the teacher that all of us are called to be. Somebody got to have hope about something in their life. Y'all know what I'm saying. If you're convicted about something that you like doing or want to do or want to receive, then in order for you to have that conviction, something had to spark hope in you. And the thing that sparked hope is the fact that you went through a process of being taught what hope was for that thing in order for you to be converted to being convicted.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now, still teaching on this thing about being under the anointing of the gift of the teacher, then, you know, in the same scripture, it tells us that we're called to teach in verity. Now, verity, for those that may not be familiar with that word, comes from the Greek word aletheia, A-L-E-T-H-I-A, which aletheia means truth, objectively, okay? So now, if I teach folks about conviction, what also is required for me as a teacher is to teach folks in all conviction truth. It does me no good to be a teacher on God's behalf and I'm teaching folks a bunch of lies in order to convict them or move them. Because usually, if I'm not giving somebody a truth, and they find out that I'm not teaching them a truth, it causes them to lose faith and hope in what I've got to say, and then I may derail them from their relationship with God. So as a kingdom kid, if I'm going to operate in the anointing of the teacher, I got to keep that thing as real as I possibly can.
Yes.
Amen. So now that brings me to number six. Are teachers called to exist and function in the body of Christ as well as the church? Well, let me keep that real. Let me make sure y'all get that. Are teachers called to exist and function, first of all, in the body of Christ as well as in the church? All right? Turn with me to Hebrews. Don't line this thing up. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12 for a moment. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Amen. So, now, there is a need for teachers both in the body of Christ as well as in the church. Because there comes a time in an individual's life when they need to receive understanding and the basic principles regarding the oracles of God. As we just read here, everybody at some time or another needs to have a teacher in their life in order to understand how God begins to operate and speak in their life as an oracle. Okay, let's keep this real. Everybody knows that people will come into their presence, whether we at a church or whether we at a gathering or whether we just with some other believers, and folks will begin to say, "The Lord, I believe the Lord is speaking to me." Now watch this. The scripture says, how can they hear unless they have a preacher, and how can they be a preacher unless they be sent? So now, understand, we said this before, and I'll say it again. God can talk to anybody whenever he wants to, how he wants to, but God also places a God-man or a God-woman in the earth realm who is already foundationed with hearing God and talking to God in order to help you understand how God is talking to you. So I'm not saying that some folks have not been called in an anointing to hear from God, but God always places a God man or God woman that you can connect with in order to teach you and give you understanding on how God is speaking in your life. Because some folks will jack it up. You know what I'm saying? They want to be lone rangers. They don't want to have no connection, and they begin to say, well, God is speaking. And then all of a sudden you hear them coming from Timbuktu with a word, and then they be saying stuff, but then ain't even sure about how they saying it or how they presenting it. You know what I'm saying? Don't even give a salutation when they come to greet anybody. And so then, if you know, the word tells prophets to try prophets, etc. So as a God man or God woman, I would begin to listen and say, I hear what they saying, but had they really thought that thing out? Maybe they needed to press into somebody because, you know, watch this. Ain't nobody going to be a professor at no school unless they first came to a professor. So that means in order for them to be efficient on what they do, they got to have rubbed up against somebody that does where God is leading them to go. Joshua didn't become a leader of the people until he rubbed up with Moses. Y'all feel what I'm saying? The apostles didn't become apostles until they rubbed up with the chief apostle, Christ Jesus. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So there's always somebody, you know, as my bishop used to say, your destiny lies in another man. And I believe, taking that further, your destiny lies in another man or another woman. The thing is finding who's supposed to be the teacher in your life to help you become the teacher.
Okay.
Amen. So now, let me still give y'all some more meat on this. So now, Watch this. Let me even tie this in here, too. Because notice that here in verse 12 of Hebrews, it talks about milk. Now, for those that don't know this, milk comes from the Greek word gala. And if you think about it, that's almost like the root of the word gallon, like when you go buy milk out of the store. But now, understand spiritually, milk is defined as a less difficult to understand truth. So now, when the word says that as babes, you get milk, and remember, babe is one who is unskilled or unexperienced. Amen? So it says, as a babe, you get milk, which means you get a non-difficult understanding. The most simplest way for it to be transcribed over to you. And it says, this is needed before you can get to the place of having strong meat. Now, let me teach y'all something here right now on strong meat, because this is a real revelation here. Understand the word meat comes from the Greek word trophy, which means nourishment. However, notice that the writer didn't say that you need meat. He said strong meat. So now, let me give you a real revelation here. The word strong comes from the Greek word steros, and if y'all really get a revelation, steros is the root word of steroid. So he says strong or steros, which means hard or rigid, meaning once you've gotten to a place that you have gone beyond just getting simple truths of understanding, God says you got to toughen up your skin and get raw revelation. Raw revelation may hurt your feeling, but you got to keep it moving because this is what you need in order to mature you. God calls the anointing of the teacher to be able to discern who's in a place that needs simple understanding like Simon and who's in a place that needs raw revelation like somebody ready for a PhD. Because, see, if God is going to take you into a great place operating in the anointing of a teacher, then what has to happen is you got to get scarred up. There's some things you got to get beat up, bent up, flipped up, toe up, thrown up until you get into the full maturity of who you are. And if you're going to be real about this thing, like they say with Nike, be in it to win it. Because now that is the tie that brings into the fullness of understanding what some real meat or strong meat is when it comes to the word. So if you're going to be really in this thing, then you got to understand that as God gives revelation, there's some things you ain't going to like. There's some things that might be good, but there's going to be other things that ain't. But see, you can't get this thing twisted and be, you know, looking like you Alice in Wonderland when something comes raw and hard for you to get into a greater place.
Amen.
Because see, it's all about your maturing. When it says you become an individual of age, it comes from the Greek word teleos, which means mature, or as I've given y'all a revelation before when we taught on perfecting. You can be perfected because perfecting is maturing you. And if you're going to be one operating under the anointing of the teacher, you've got to be perfected. So now, that brings me now number eight. Is teaching for the kingdom limited to men, or is it expected of women as well? Everybody gets that? Is teaching for the kingdom limited to men, or is it expected of women as well? And see, right now, I just want to kill that. Because some folks think certain things are only meant for men to do versus also including women. Amen? But I beg to differ. By God's word, women carry the responsibility just as much as a man. Amen? Turn with me to Titus. Amen. Titus chapter 2, amen, verse 1 through 3. The word says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right, so now he says for you to orate out of your mouth stuff that's sound doctrine. And if it's sound, then that means it's something that's been taught to you. So it really saying, teach those things that you've been taught that are sound and secure and foundation. Amen. Excuse me. That the aged men be sober,
grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Oh, but look at verse 3. It says, the aged women likewise. Make sure you catch that. It didn't just say the aged men. It says aged women likewise. So that tells me verse 1 and 2 applies to women. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Okay, so now, he even adds on to a woman to not only do verse 1 and 2, but he even says that a woman need to check her behavior with putting 1 and 2 into application. Did y'all catch that? Because y'all know, I'm just going to keep it real. Women are really spiritually moved when it comes to a thing. And so they ain't got no shame in the game with kicking shoes off and getting comfortable when they get a raw revelation from God to impart. So believe it or not, the man of God was just really commenting in nice words of saying, I know y'all get this thing, y'all get frugal with it and make this thing, it is what it is. But he said, hey, you got to remember, keep yourself in check with your behavior, because some folks will get twisted as to what you get as a revelation from God versus what men do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because we keeping it real. Men don't really move too emotional on revelations they get, whereas women will move in emotion, and some folks will construe that emotion and twist it up and try to interpret it for something else. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
All right, let me read verse 3 again. The aged women, likewise, so like I said, when I'm talking age, I'm talking mature, those that have arrived. So, that's a sidebar revelation there. The word says men can be arrived, because when it says age, it means they mature, and it's saying women are aged, meaning matured. So, aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. So he says, both of them are teachers of good things. And understand, when we talk the word good, whether we're talking in a Greek or in Hebrew, good means beneficial. Meaning, I'm not going to waste time teaching you something that ain't no benefit to you. All that's doing is wasting your time, and it's wasting space in your head when it comes to your advancement of the kingdom. Anything that you give me should be like the stock market. Y'all feeling what I'm saying? That thing needs to multiply me or add to me. Don't waste my time trying to fill my head up with nonsense, because all you're doing is converting me back to Babel. I ain't trying to build the Tower of Babylon with a head full of Babel. I'm only going into confusion with stuff I can't do nothing with. Amen. A teacher has a responsibility to give you everything that you need in complete clarity and understanding in order for you to effectively use what you're taught.
Amen.
So now, that brings me to number 9. Now this is a good one here. Amen. Are there false teachers when it comes to the body of Christ and the kingdom? Are there false teachers? Now, you really ain't got to even twist your head hard on that one or think you in an exorcism spinning your head around, because you know as well as I do, if there's good teachers, then there's got to be false teachers. Just like the word says there's false prophets. If there's false prophets, they got to be good prophets. Good prophets, they got to be false prophets. False prophets got to be measured to something. So now, if a false prophet got to be measured up or compared to what's considered a good prophet, then don't you think the same thing, that false teachers have to be compared to righteous teachers in order for you to deem that they false? Everybody catch that?
Yeah.
Now, let's look at this thing, because, you know, like I said, I done threw something out there, but I need to let y'all lay y'all eyes on it. Some folks are like from Missouri, the Show Me State. They need to see it in writing. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for the time will come. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Everybody hear that? Now hold that, and I want you to turn to 2 Peter. Tie this thing here together. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Because now, as we just read in Timothy, people get into a place of itchy ears. But turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who pridefully shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. Did y'all hear that? That wasn't Eliotology. That's right there in Peter. So he says, just as much as false prophets exist, there's a such thing as false teachers that will exist. Now, understand this. False teachers are prone to not only deny the Lord and his existence or where he's brought you, but they also have a mentality to bring you to spiritual destruction. Now, how do they bring you to spiritual destruction other than the fact of convincing you to have the mindset of condemnation? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? When somebody is a false teacher that's speaking into your life, the only way that they get you separated from God is, remember, you know, as I was sharing here a few days ago, I was saying, you know, the devil is not the trigger man. He brings you the gun, but he needs you to pull the trigger. Because watch this, this may be deep revelation for some folks, but only a God can kill a God. So now, he's not God, but he needs you in the form of him as a little G-O-D to have the mindset to kill yourself or kill another. How do you kill yourself other than separating yourself from God? That's the worst death of all. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This may be revelation for somebody. So now, the worst death of all is for me to be separated eternally from God. How do I separate myself? Well, remember I gave y'all a revelation on the word condemnation. Condemnation means separation. So every time I condemn myself, I'm separating myself from God. But it takes for me to have the mind or the thoughts in his form as a little him to make that become a reality for me. Y'all remember in the book of Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as a man thinks in his thoughts, he becomes what he thinks. And if you keep convicting yourself or teaching yourself that you condemn for every failure that you make, you helping the devil help you pull the trigger to kill you and separate you from God. So now, still on this thing of false teachers, can I give y'all a revelation that God gave me how they creep in? Watch this. It's probably going to mess some of y'all up. But believe it or not, a false teacher creeps in when you're not in the mindset that you can be taught. Did everybody hear me there? A false teacher is authorized to creep into your mind and speak to you when you're in the mindset that you can't be taught. Okay, let me clear that up and keep it simple like Simon for some folks. Meaning, y'all know, sometimes when we get to a place that we know something, we feel like we're at a PhD level that can't nobody tell me nothing because I already got that. So when I get to the place that I already got it and can't nothing else be taught on it, nothing else can be given, I'm dangerous right now. Because now all of a sudden, a false teacher all of a sudden pops out of the woodwork and say, yeah, they can't tell you nothing else because da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So all of a sudden, you're not in a place to be taught by the one that's giving you revelation that's going to bless you. You actually now become student to the one that's whispering, as the word said, in an itchy ear. Meaning you just want to hear something of chatter going on in your ear so you can say, yeah, and feel puffed up and feel like you matured because ain't nobody doing you no justice. That is a time when the manifestation of false teachers creep up on the scene and cause you to be separated from God, because they make you kill your own self by your own puffed up thinking, because you're never in a posture that you can be led or taught by somebody else. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's amen. All I had to impart this evening on the anointing or the gift of the teacher in fivefold ministry. Amen. Amen. Let me give a revelation here, because you know, you think about it, some folks people are not necessarily bored. People are looking for revelation or word that's relevant, that gives them sustenance with what they're doing. However, you have to be careful with what revelation or sustenance is given, because, like I said, you know, it's easy for somebody to pick up a book and read something and regurgitate what they read. But it does me no good if they ain't got a real raw revelation and they can make that thing applicable for me to be able to use it. Now I will say this, and I was sharing this, and I missed bringing this point to everybody's attention. But it's an interesting thing about that thing with babes, as you bring back up milk and meat. Because if I can give y'all one other quick raw revelation, some folks need to quit being punked out and trying to hide behind saying they're a babe when they do things out of order or out of the will of God. Amen? Let me keep that thing real and line this thing up for you to make sure everybody that's hearing this got it. Because, see, you know, whole bunch of people that are part of the body of Christ, as they claim, and they Bible readers, and they quick to quote scripture and tell you how some stuff applies, they'll turn around when they do something out of order or out of alignment, and they quick to tell you, well, I'm just a babe in Christ. Well, watch this. Like I said, a babe is one who is, if I may say, unskilled or unexperienced. However, the word says that those who are of age or mature, the word such as meat is meant for them to put in operation. So watch this. That means if one of these folks that keep claiming they're babe has put anything into operation of the word because of their experience, they no longer qualify as a babe.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's kind of, it's kind of like this. It's just like, let's say I was feeding you some ribs. Amen. Now, how are you going to say you can eat some ribs and then I turn around and give you a steak and you say you don't know how to eat it? You're apparently experienced with eating meat. Y'all catching what I'm saying? Okay, let me still keep it simple again. For some that may have not caught that, that's also just like somebody going to the gym. Amen. They may say, I'm going to go work out on my arms, but then you ask them, what about my legs? What about your legs? They say, I don't know how to do that. And wait a minute, you went to the gym, so, you know, that's for total fitness. If you don't touch base with one thing, then you can't claim you don't know how to touch base with another. And in the same term, you don't walk into something and have no productivity and walk out to expect the change to occur. Still, like, going to the gym and walking in there and standing and walking out and expecting a change to occur. Amen. You apparently know something, but then the thing is, what makes it applicable is you applying
snitch.